Broadcasting live from the Harvey C. Jacobs Memorial Control Room in the heart of New Mexico State University, it's KRWG's Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org.
Voting is your civic duty, but what are your rights as a voter? Is the right to vote protected in the original text of the Constitution? Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host today for Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential. Join in on the conversation and take the democracy quiz for your chance to win cool prizes, including a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org.
Call in right now at 575-646-2212 or join us on our social media desk to ask your questions or comment for Voice of the Public. Voice of the Public is live after the news.
Welcome to Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Voting is your civic duty, but what are your rights as a voter? Call in right now at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, to join in on the conversation or join Anthony Moreno on our social media desk with your questions or comments. We are live streaming the show on Facebook, so you can watch the show as it happens. At 1:30, we will open up the phone lines for three contestants to take part of the democracy quiz for their chance to win a prize pack that includes a KRWG mug filled with goodies and the grand prize of a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. The democracy quiz consists of five questions. The person that answers the most questions correctly wins. My guests today are Roseanne Vasquez, who is a native Las Cruzan, who is passionate about increasing civic engagement in our community. She's employed at the Bureau of Elections in Doña Ana County Clerk's Office. Her dream is to build a voting culture in our county where everyone votes in every election. Scott Kraling is the newly elected Doña Ana County Clerk. He believes that engaging people and working together is at the center of success. His vision is to create a voting culture in Doña Ana where everyone votes in every election. He values public service and has served the people in our county since 2009 when he was elected county commissioner for District 4. Welcome to Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential. Are you guys excited?
Yes, totally.
Very excited. Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
You know, we talked about this, and we've been talking about doing a voter show for quite some time now, and we were able to put this together. What is the state, Scott, of voting in Doña Ana County today?
I think it's in crisis.
It's in crisis.
I think that's the bottom line. I mean, whether we're talking about our largest elections, right, our general elections, the presidential election last year, November of this past year, that more people vote in than any other election, you know, it's 62% turnout. And so, yes, 62% turnout is high, relatively speaking.
Is it high?
But 62% turnout is a D-minus. Right?
It is a D minus.
D minuses do not get you a pass in a class. And so 62% turnout in our highest turnout elections is a D minus. But then our local elections were, you know, on average 9% turnout in our local elections. And so 9% turnout. Can you imagine if 9% of the students graduating were 9% of our students were graduating high school? We'd be panicking if 9% were graduating high school. 9% of registered voters, those that are qualified to vote in our local elections, are showing up to vote. And so I'm sorry, I can't mince words. I gotta say, democracy in Doña Ana County is in crisis.
So where are we? What do we do? I mean, there's got to be a national conversation, because is this just happening in Doña Ana County, or is this something, a trend across the country?
Well, I think it's different in each location. Each state has its own election laws, and so the structure affects turnout. There's no doubt about that. You can look at states that have laws where everybody receives a ballot in the mail. Right, like those laws turn into higher turnout, but the turnout numbers are still not necessarily as high as they could be, not necessarily as high as other industrialized countries, and so, so you know, in New Mexico, I think that we have a lot of structural issues to address when it comes to making voting accessible to people. But in, you know, in Doniana County, I see that we struggle with getting people to know and getting them the right information about the elections that are happening. We've got elections throughout the calendar, right? Like we've got over the next year or so, by November of next year, we've got 10 elections on our calendar, right? When I got elected, we sat down and we looked at how many elections were coming up in the next year and a half. It was 18 elections.
18 elections.
That's right. I mean,
what do these elections range from? School,
municipal, special districts, special elections for mill levies or bonds, countywide elections, our regular primary and general elections, and so there's a variety of elections that are on our calendar, and most of them people just don't know about, and it's difficult because these elections are all governed by their own set of rules. And so it's hard for our office, who in most instances is not in charge of administering the election, right, to figure out how we can get people the information that they need so that they can know that an election is happening, much less inform themselves on what's on the ballot so that they can make a good decision when they show up to vote.
Let's talk about consolidation a little bit later on in the show, because I know that that's an issue that's come up. Roseanne, why is voting culture important to you?
So what I want to say that the crisis that we're facing really is local here in Doniana County. And I'm a native to Doniana County. And so when Scott points out that we're excluding over 90% of registered voters in the decisions that impact their daily lives, that truly is outrageous. If we were to apply that number across the board to anything, we're excluding 90% of our kids from education or of services, then we should be concerned. And it's time to do something about that. And the other point that I want to make quickly is democracy is local. So I get at the national level, there's a lot of structural reforms.
There's a lot of passion
needs
national
to be made.
Elections. Would you agree, Scott? I mean, it's just very passionate. People become very passionate with national elections.
Well, national elections get a lot of exposure. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't think that people wouldn't be equally passionate about some of these local elections. It's the problem is the exposure that they have to them. We're almost already hearing about the next presidential election, right?
We've been hearing about it before the election was over.
That's right. I saw something in the news that was like, who are the five top candidates to challenge Trump in his reelection? It's like, we've got a city of Las Cruces election in November. We've got school bond and mill levy elections in February. We've got the Anthony Conservancy District election in January. We've got a lot between now and then that we aren't even talking about, and so it's frustrating because when you see such low turnout numbers, and you know that that one of the biggest challenges is getting accurate information into people's hands, it's a huge undertaking to try to if you're like us, Roseanne and myself, and you believe in democracy, you believe in people, you believe that voting is something that more people should be doing. It's an incredibly frustrating challenge.
Scott Kraling, newly elected Doniana County Clerk, is our guest. So is Roseanne Vasquez, who works for the Bureau of Elections at the Doniana County Clerk's Office. You can join in on the conversation at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. To join us, you can also join Anthony Moreno in the social media desk on the social media desk with your questions or comments. And let us go to Anthony right now. Anthony, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential.
Good afternoon, Edmundo. We do have a comment on our Facebook page. Julie is agreeing with County Clerk Kraling. She says, quote, voting, it's a mess half the time. I don't even know there is an election until it's over.
Yes. Sorry. Yes, Julie, you were so right. Right. And so, you know, when I talk to people out in the community about, sorry, is it okay for me to just jump in?
You
that's
what jump
I'm doing.
In.
That's what I'm doing. That's the game we're playing here today.
It's so, live radio. We're jumping in left and right.
That's so, exactly right. So thank you, Julie.
It is exactly right. And so, you know, too often when I'm talking to people about the fact that we don't have higher turnout numbers, right, like too often I get the response, well, they just don't know, right? They're just not informed. These people that aren't voting, like they just, you know, we get the 5% of people that actually know what's going on and are capable to make a decision on that. Well, you know, Julie, I'm guessing, who is listening to this show, right, who's engaging with us on Facebook, is an informed person who is probably very competent and very capable of making a good, informed decision on every single election. But we can't figure out how to get that information into her hands. National elections, it's different. We're already talking about that in the news. These local elections, it's a huge challenge. And with so many of them spread throughout our calendar, Julie, I wish I could tell you that I've got an answer that we can implement tomorrow to make it better for you. But we're working on it. The one thing I want you to know is we're working on it.
Let's talk about challenges. What other challenges? I mean, again, not enough information out there. What other challenges do voters face when it comes to voting?
Well, inconsistent laws. And so, for instance, this past May, we had an election for the Soil and Water Conservation District, right? The Doñana Soil and Water Conservation District, under its law, is in charge of administering its own election, right? And so its rules are also its own set of rules. So the rules that it follows is different than the rules that the schools follow, or the municipalities follow, or the general elections follow. And so how do you know, right? How does the average voter out there, right, working full time, you know, single father, single mother, right? Like, how do they have time to set aside in their schedule to make sure that they know that of the 18 elections that are coming up, that there's early voting in this one, there's a mail absentee option in this one over here, right? The locations for this time are going to be this school, but next time they're going to be at a district headquarters, right? Like, we have a system that sets up unrealistic expectations if our goal is participation. If our goal isn't participation, right? If our goal is minimizing access to voting, well, then we've got the perfect system. But that's not what my goal is. And so there are a lot of challenges for voters out there. I can barely keep up with them. I'm the county clerk. I work on this stuff
this
every single
do.
Day.
Right.
And I have a hard time keeping up with it.
Yeah, I really just want to say it's even more than challenging. It's virtually almost impossible. It's impossible to inform voters. And so on the other side, being a voter myself, it's almost even impossible to know which election I'm eligible to vote in.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential, what is your civic duty? Do we just ignore the fact that it's a civic duty? Are we no longer passionate about this? Where's the passion?
Here's the thing, Edmundo. I was raised to care about these things. My parents raised me to start voting as soon as I turned 18. And I did. And while I haven't voted in every single election that I've qualified since I was 18, I got to admit, I just was raised to believe in this. And so I can't answer that question. I don't know why people aren't voting. I'm glad that we're getting some feedback from someone like Julie, who says, the reason that I'm not voting is that I don't know about the election until it's too late. Right? That's good for me to hear that, because we need to hear from people that aren't voting. We need to know what it is that's keeping them. I can give you all of my assumptions. I can do it all day long, and I'll tell you what, I've sat in many, many rooms where there are many, many Scott Kralings. Many of us, not many, not small, but there are several of us in the room who all fall under that same category. We vote in every election. We know already, right? And we can sit there and we can say, I know this. I know why this is happening. I know this. I know that. Well, guess what? I've been doing that. You know, I've been doing that my whole life. I've been doing that when I was a commissioner. I've been doing that as my role at the county clerk's office. And the truth is, I just don't know. And so part of the way I think that we resolve this is we figure out a way to start tapping into the minds of those who aren't voting in our local elections, those who do show up and vote in a presidential election, but then aren't showing up to vote in the city election or the school election. I'm not that person. So for me to pretend like I know the answer, that's a mistake. That's what we've been doing. And guess what? 9% turnout in local elections. That's the result that we get when we base all of our decisions on assumptions. That's why our event on Saturday is so important, because what we've actually done is we're trying to target that group of people. We're trying to target those who vote in general election, presidential elections, but don't vote in any other election. And we've done an aggressive outreach campaign to try to bring those people to the room so that we can have a conversation, because I am positive. I am 100% positive that it's not that they don't care. That it's not that they don't care about their community and the decisions that are being made in these local elections. There's something else going on, but it's not me. I got to hear it from them.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let's talk about facts, myths, and myths. I mean, are there rainy days that benefit one party over another? Bad weather, inclement weather? I mean, you know, you hear about this every time there's an election. Well, maybe if it rains, this voter demographic might not turn out. I mean, are people, is that a myth? What facts and myths are out there about voting?
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's much more interesting to talk about some of the structural issues, some of the structural laws or just practices that actually have an effect on that, other than like the natural disaster pieces of it. And so I don't know the answer on whether or not if it rains that anybody is more or less likely to show up. Probably it's equal across the board if it's raining. But there are definitely laws in place that keep people from
Let's
participating.
Let's talk about laws.
Well, yeah. I mean, the consolidated elections, right? The fact that we have so many different elections in the calendar, right, spread out, like that, whether or not it was by intention or not, that is keeping people from participating in local elections. And that's just, whether or not we think it's a good idea or not, whether or not that's a good thing or not, I happen to think that it's a bad thing. I think most people probably agree with me. Whether or not that's it, that's the truth. That's what's happening. And so the so having all these different elections spread out, right? Having a 28-day voter registration deadline. You have to be registered to vote 28 days before the election. So if you move and you forgot to update your registration and you don't even realize until you show up at the polls, you've got to vote in the districts of your previous residence, right? And so 28 days before an election is just, it's a significant amount of time. And yes, for the presidential elections, again, we hear about them over and over and over again. Maybe there's less of an excuse. But for the school bond election?
The water
election?
That caught me off guard. All of a sudden, I started seeing yard signs. It's like, there's an election coming up?
And campaigns don't ramp up until like the last few weeks. And so if we have a system as we have right now, which is largely based on people being informed by campaigns, which I think is actually a failing system, then people aren't even knowing about the election. People aren't even thinking about who they're going to vote for city council. In these local elections, 28 days is way too far before the election. If we want people to vote, let's change that. Let's give them more access to updating the registration closer to the election.
What solutions do you have to improve voter turnout? 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Join us on our social media desk. We have Gordon that is standing by. Gordon, welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential. You are on with Scott and Roseanne.
Yes, I wanted to ask if there are any technological innovations that could help voter participation that are on the horizon.
You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of any technological innovations that will help voter participation. I think that most of the things, but again, I mean, let me reiterate that, you know, I'm somebody that votes in every election, and so it would be great to hear directly from somebody who's out there who doesn't vote in every election to say, you know, Scott, if only you did this, if only you could do X, Y, and Z. But you know, most of the ideas that I have, you know, would be based on assumptions about what I think is going to increase somebody's likelihood of participating. And so, you know, I think that there are things that get talked about all the time, like apps or voting electronically. You know, there's a lot of really good reasons that we have some of the systems that we have, like paper ballots or showing up and voting in person. And so I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know if Roseanne has any thoughts.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Roseanne?
No, but I really just wanted to say that when we talk about myths and other things and even the structural reform, our job is to really bring voting local. And I think it's less about passion and more about the disconnect about what voting locally really means to our daily lives. Like, that's really where change happens, and that's where policies affect us on school boards, at the city level, at the county level. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't get lost in the national noise and bring everything local to our people.
Yeah.
575-646-2212. We are now taking calls for those of you that want to participate about with our Voter Confidential's democracy quiz. For those of you that answer five questions or answer the most questions out of five, you'll be able to win some cool prize packs, including mugs with KRWG goodies, and the grand prize is a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. So again, if you want to participate, give us a call, 646-2212, 575-646-2212. Join in on the conversation on Voice of the Public. Participate in the voter quiz and join us for your chance to win cool prizes. Scott, you want to give us a sample of some of the questions you've got?
Yeah, I think one of the really good questions is true or false, convicted felons can vote in New Mexico.
Okay, so there you go. He just gave you a hint as to some of the type of questions that are coming up. If you want to join in, join us right now, 575-646-2212. Let us go to our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony?
Edmundo, we want to remind our audience that we are streaming KRWG's Voter Confidential on our Facebook page. So give us a thumbs up on our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, and you can join in the conversation. Like Julie, who is actively involved in the conversation, she has added a comment discussing about how difficult it is even to find out what topics are being voted on. Also, Julie says that she thinks that snail mail or email newsletters may help as well, because she says that she doesn't always have the time to read the newspaper and listen to the radio, which is about the only places, she says, where she can find out that information.
I'm so glad that Julie is participating in this conversation with us, because she's hitting, I think, a lot of the key points. You know, we spend so much time and so many resources on all these different elections that and just trying to inform people. You know, if we could pool our resources together, if we could consolidate elections down and have more resources, we could have more resources to doing things like doing a direct mail to every single voter. Right now, let me remind you, right now these elections are being governed by different bodies. It's not all underneath the clerk's office. And so, you know, when you've got each municipality running its own election, you've got school boards making decisions related to their elections, you've got Soil and Water Conservation District election doing their own election. And so, you know, some of these organizations don't have the resources to mail out something to every registered voter, 117,000 registered voters. So we're thinking through our strategy for next year for our primary in general. But it would be great if we could also be thinking through our strategy for the next consolidated local election. And one point that I want to make is that when we talk about consolidating local elections, we aren't talking about putting all of the local elections on the same general election ballot. So you've got, you know, governor, Congress, senator, then you've got city and school. Like, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is setting up a separate election just for local elections. And so every November, you've got something to go vote on. You've got, in odd numbered years, you've got your local election on the first Tuesday in November. And in even numbered years, you've got your traditional general election happening. And so it's commonly misunderstood that when we talk about consolidating elections, we are talking about nonpartisan elections all together on one ballot, 7 or 8 questions, something along those lines.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on KRWG's Voter Confidential, we are taking right now contestants to participate in the democracy quiz.
Something just jumped into my head, Edmundo, for the caller. I forgot what his name was that asked about technological advances.
Jonathan.
And so I'll say that even though I think that a lot of our challenges are structural, some of those structural challenges are opening up opportunities. And so, for instance, absentee voting in our general election, our primary and general elections, anything that's countywide that's administered through the county clerk's office, traditionally, you had to have a piece of paper, you had to sign it right then and there and turn it in to us. The legislature just passed a law this last year allowing electronic applications for absentee ballots, and so it makes the process a little bit easier for people to apply for absentee ballots.
That was Gordon who asked that question. Let us go to Dean, who is standing by. Dean, welcome to KRWG's Voter Confidential. You are on with Scott Kraling and Roseanne Vasquez. Dean.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I take exception to all the reasons why people can't vote. Now, I've been in New Mexico for 66 years, minus 29 years as a Marine. And I find it hard to believe that a visually impaired person wouldn't know there's an election going on, or someone who is hearing impaired and couldn't see that election is going on. So why is it that we have to take all these reasons why people can't vote when it's on television, it's on radio, it's yard signs, there's political influences everywhere? So why isn't it the responsibility of the individual American to take the effort to go down and register in their district or register if they move within the 28 days. Why do we continue to make exceptions for people that don't want to turn around and meet their obligation as an American to go out and vote on whatever issue is there? And if I could hear the response to that, I sure would appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean.
Yeah, I appreciate Dean taking the time to call in because, you know, the first thing that I'd like to say is, Dean, come on into our event on Saturday, because really what we want to do is we want to have a conversation with people like Dean, and hopefully we can give him some exposure to people that don't vote in our local elections, because it sounds to me like Dean, thank you for your service to our country, by the way, sounds to me like Dean is somebody that's passionate about voting, that believes in it, that's engaged in it.
My father-in-law is a veteran, and he makes it a point to be there on early voting day, to be the first one to sign up. And he is so passionate about it that it's so overwhelming how passionate he is about it. But what do you do with people that aren't as passionate?
Well, I think the key, though, is, let me just going back to the event that we're having on Saturday, I mean, the key is that we have to get a better understanding of what it is that's keeping them from voting. And so I hear Dean's point, and I think that it's important, and it plays a role in our conversation, but we don't really know. I don't know. I'm not that person. It doesn't sound like Dean is that person. And so I want to have a conversation with someone that is in that category, that somebody that doesn't show up to vote, somebody like Julie on Facebook that says, I don't know until it's too late, right? Like, she doesn't read the newspaper on a regular basis. I think that's what she said. Sorry if I put words in your mouth, Julie. But, you know, I want to hear from those people so that we can have an actual conversation about what those reasons are, as opposed to making assumptions about what they are.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Are you that person? Are you the person that doesn't vote, that doesn't get out and vote, that's not as informed as other people assume you to be informed? Because it's very easy to assume that people are informed given the amount of yard signs that are out there, billboards. I used to work in commercial radio. I knew when there was an election every time because of the amount of commercial radio advertising that existed on the radio, the amount of direct mail that comes and overwhelms my mailbox, television advertising. It's now on Facebook advertising. Earlier this summer, I saw a candidate for a local election for city council running advertising on Facebook already this summer. And the election's not till November. He got a jump start. Are there people that aren't informed but choose voter apathy? What's your thought on it? 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. What's on your mind regarding elections? If you want to join us for our Democracy Quiz for your chance to win a $50 gift card, we are taking calls right now. You can join us at 575-646-2212. Are the questions hard, Scott?
Yeah, the questions are hard.
They are hard.
Of course.
They're challenging.
If these questions were easy, 90% of people would be showing up to vote in our local elections, not 9.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let's go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony? What's on your mind, sir? Or what's on viewers' mind, listeners' mind?
In Mundo, we have a question about informing voters about what's going on. Bridget on our Facebook page is asking the question, could the county do more for residents on social media? She made a comment about, you know, organizations and companies have the ability to put posts on her Facebook feed without her really requesting those. What can the county do for residents to inform them about what's happening with elections?
Yeah, that's actually something that we experimented with during the primary and general election, and we ran ads on Instagram and on Facebook informing people about some of those deadlines, because there are a lot of deadlines. So there's 28 days before the election. You have to have your information updated or you need to be registered. Early voting at alternate sites opens up 17 days before the election. And so, yes, I think that there are non-traditional advertising opportunities for us to pursue and to put resources in. I think our biggest challenge, though, is we don't administer all of these local elections, right? And so until we figure out a way to to get that under control, right? Until the Soil and Water Conservation District, I think, is a great example of an election. It's held in May. It was this past May, right? We had 5% turnout in that election, which was high for that election, although it's 5%, so we can't celebrate that. That's for sure. But that organization does not have the resources. I forget what their operating budget is, but it's like, I think it was like $20,000 a year, right? So they don't have the resources to spend on a huge marketing campaign to the entire county, to every registered voter, 117,000 people registered to vote, in order to inform them on that, right? And so in that election, they turned to us and asked us for support in helping them administer it. And we were able to commit our limited resources to helping them administer it to make sure that it was fair and give everybody access. However, you know, there's take that election, times it by 18. Right now, under the system that we have, it's just not a very feasible option.
Yeah, and I also want to add that we need everyone to help us spread the word about all of these elections and about the voting process. But what's even more important is if people start spreading the word, then they need to spread the right information to voters. And so sometimes that gets lost in all of the noise, the billboards and the signs and the campaign slogans. And if we want people to come out to vote, they need to have the correct information.
And, you know, Edmundo, you were talking about getting information about elections, right? You were talking about, you know, getting mailers, you know, all the things that the campaigns do to inform people about voting. You know, I want to, as somebody that has worked on campaigns, has run my own campaigns, I want to let you know that information doesn't go to everybody. Not everybody gets all of that. You know why you get that? Because you vote in every election. Right, campaigns have to have targeted plans to get their people out to vote so that they win their election, right? And so if our system is designed around candidates and campaigns informing voters about elections, guess who's going to show up? The same people over and over and over again. Guess who's not going to know about the election? People that have that are not on that list, right? And so I think when we have this campaign centric model, we run into what we have. We have what we have, and so we have to have a more organized approach to informing every voter about every election that's coming up. And so that's really where we're headed, because super voters are going to come up. They're going to come out every single time. And when I run, I'm going to send you something in the mail, Edmundo, because I know you vote every time, and I have limited resources.
Well, you know, how I know that I vote every time is I get visits from candidates that are running for office. They're, you know, they see my information that I'm a registered voter, that I go out and vote. And, you know, I make it a point to vote at every election.
Yeah, you're
one right. of the questions she's 17 now, saw you at Oñate High School doing a voter outreach to high school students, encouraging them to register to vote. At what age can somebody register to vote?
Good question. You can register as long as you'll be 18 by the next general election. And so it just depends on where we are in our calendar, right? You have to be able to check the box yes on the question on your form that says I will be 18 by the next general election. In New Mexico, 17-year-olds who will be 18 by the next general election can vote in primary elections. And so that was a law that was just recently changed by the legislature. And so as long as they're going to be 18 by the next general election.
All right. It's time for KRWG's Democracy Quiz on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez, auditioning for The Price is Right. Call in at 575-646-2212 to join in on the fun for your chance to win cool prizes, including a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. We're looking for three contestants right now, which we actually do have. Here's how it works. We're going to ask each contestant five questions. The person that can answer the most questions correctly will win a KRWG mug filled with goodies, including a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. In case of a tie, we will draw for a winner. Join in on the fun on the Democracy Quiz right now by listening. Here is the sound we will make when the answer is correct. Okay, so Roseanne is standing by. Let us go to our phone where we have Persis. Is that correct? Persis, welcome to KRWG's Voter Confidential.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Where are you from, Persis?
I'm from El Paso, Texas.
Are you a registered voter?
Yes.
Do you vote?
Yes, but not. I not always on local elections.
Okay, so we're going to find a way to change that.
Yes.
Okay, Scott, you ready? Are you ready, Persis?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
I got a question. You said five questions. I've got eight on my sheet. Do I want me to just pick five?
No. There's more questions right there.
Oh, okay. Which questions do you want me to pick? Which ones do you want me to
just...
I want you to get it right so I can ring that cowbell.
I'm trying to help you out.
Okay.
You got a cowbell we want to ring.
Okay, hang on one second. Oh, these are the answers to the questions. Okay.
You want me to pick five of these eight?
Yes.
Did you say five, right?
Five.
Five or all eight?
Five.
Five. All right. Okay. Are you ready? Here we go. Oops. I just banged my... I got excited here. Sorry. Facebook saw it. All right. So, first question. True or false? The right to vote is protected in the original text of the United States Constitution.
That's true. No, it's false. I'm sorry.
We have to go with your first answer.
Do we have to go with the first answer?
Yeah.
You did rebound. You rebounded, but nope, it is false. It is false. The original, the right to vote was initially, was one of the rights that was, or one of the issues that was left to states. And so we still live with that today, right? We still live with the outcome of that today. That's why Texas's laws are different from New Mexico's.
Okay, we're going to ask three questions because we don't have enough questions. So we're going to ask three questions.
Okay.
So
you got two more.
Okay, true or false? Convicted felons can vote in New Mexico.
I'm going to say they cannot.
They can.
False.
They can.
They
sorry.
Can.
They
oh,
can.
Okay.
They can. Yes, in New Mexico, and this is one of the laws that's different in every state. But in New Mexico, once you have completed the terms of your sentence, you can register to vote again and vote in the next election.
All right, here goes your third question. By the way, all contestants win this cool mug I am showing on Facebook. It's filled with goodies, KRWG goodies. So answer this question correctly or incorrectly, you still win because you are a registered voter and you're a great person.
Oh, great.
So this question is nationwide. So this applies in Texas and in New Mexico. How many days before Election Day does voting start? A, 45, B, 17, C, 28, or D, 10?
I'm going to go for 17.
Nope. Sorry. 45. 45
You're so
days.
Tough.
I am. Wow. I am just mean. I am sorry. I don't know how I convinced people to vote for me.
I had my 45. Hand on the cowbell.
Yeah, but it's 45. Actually, voting starts with people who are living overseas. Citizens who live overseas can start voting in elections 45 days before the election via the special federal absentee program.
Well, Elena, thank you very much for participating. You get a KRWG coffee mug filled with KRWG goodies. Thank you for joining us on KRWG's Voter Confidential.
Thank you.
All right, let us go to Elena. Elena is standing by. Elena, welcome to KRWG's Voter Confidential. How are you?
Hi, Elena.
I'm all right.
Are you a registered voter?
I sure am.
Do you vote at every election?
I vote at 90% of the local election in the big ones.
Okay, so Scott's standing by with your three questions.
Same questions, Edmundo, or different questions?
Different questions.
Different questions. All right, so if you were listening, sorry. Okay, true or false, New Mexico has voter ID requirements?
False.
It's actually true. Identification is defined in New Mexico law as a series of options. One of those versions is self-identification. And so...
asking for address.
And so if you can, that's correct. So I'm going to give you credit just because it's kind of a trick question. Because if you can identify yourself, right, identification in New Mexico law is defined so that if you can identify yourself by name as registered, address as registered, and your year of birth, that counts as identification in New Mexico.
So we're giving her credit for that?
We're going to give her credit for that one because it's a trick question.
It.
I know it is.
Ring the bell.
Okay. Woo! All right, Elena, you are in the lead. By the way, we need one more contestant to join us at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. One more contestant. We are looking to join us on our democracy quiz for your chance to win a $50 gift card. We have Elena in the lead right now.
All right.
Question number two.
Elena, question number two. True or false, in New Mexico, there is a day when you can both register to vote and vote on the same day.
Ooh. I want to say... false again.
Sorry. I'm trying to figure out a way to, not, to nicely say. I want to go. Sorry, Elena. No, it's actually true. 28 days before an election, in our countywide elections, 28 days before, that's the deadline. That's the last day you can register to vote, but it's also the first day that you can vote. And so there is one day in New Mexico when you can both register and vote on the same day. All right.
All right. Final question.
All right.
Final question. Here we go. Property ownership is a requirement to vote in which type of election? A, the general election. B, soil and water conservation districts. C, conservancy districts. Or D, none of the above.
None of the above, I hope.
I wish that was the answer, right? I wish. Believe it or not, we still have an archaic system in New Mexico for conservancy districts. In order to vote in conservancy districts, you have to be a property owner. And not only that, but if there are two property owners, right, husband and wife, only one of them gets to go vote. But you got one right.
You got That's one right. Time. Elena, you are in the lead right now. Stand by. We'll let you know if you are the winner of the $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. We have Gordon standing by. Gordon, welcome to KRWG's Voter Confidential. Welcome, Gordon.
Thank you.
All right. Are you a registered voter, sir?
I am.
Where are you calling from?
From Las Cruces. I vote in most of the elections. I miss a few.
Okay. You have to answer two questions, and you are the winner.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Hope so.
Okay. All right. So, true or false, New Mexico has always allowed women to vote?
False.
Oh, darn. Sorry. No, actually, it's true. In New Mexico, when New Mexico became a state, although the I always get it wrong, 19th or 20th? 19th Amendment passed in 1920. Although the 19th Amendment, which guarantees women the right to vote, had not passed yet. In New Mexico, when we drafted the Constitution, they originally allowed women to vote in school elections. And so that's actually why school elections were initially separated from all other elections and happened in February, as opposed to consolidated with other nonpartisan elections or anywhere else. We had to separate school elections because in 1914, those that were drafting the Constitution decided to allow women to vote. So it's actually true. They've always been allowed to vote, just not necessarily in every election. So we were fair, I think, in the last one. This is kind of a trick question. Are we going to be fair on this one?
Let's give it fair.
We're going to give you, because it's kind of a trick question.
I'll take half a credit.
Okay.
Let's ring the bell real quick.
Very fair. Very nice of you.
Okay. All right. Answer this question correctly, and you are the winner.
What established 18 as the voting age?
What established 18 as the voting age? I would say the New Mexico legislature.
Nope. Sorry.
Nope.
The 26th Amendment to the United States Constitution passed in 1971. That was when 18 became the 18. That amendment says that if you're
voting
18,
age nationally.
That's right.
Okay, you get one more question.
You get one more question. You're tied right now for the lead.
You're tied for the lead.
Wonderful.
Final question. Final question here. True or false, federal law requires the MVD to conduct voter registration?
Well, I'll say false.
Sorry.
We're at a tie.
We're going to have a tie. It's true. It's true. There's a national law.
And when was that passed?
In 1993, the National Voter Registration Act was passed. It's commonly referred to as Motor Voter Act because it makes MVDs or DMVs, depending on where you're at, what state you're at, and what they call it, and other social service agencies, it requires them to register to vote. And different states do it differently. So, for instance, in Oregon, you go to MVD, and you're not even asked any questions about whether or not you want to register to vote. But if you meet the requirements to be registered, you're automatically registered, and they mail you a postcard in the mail that says, congratulations, you were registered to vote. In New Mexico, everybody is asked the question of whether or not you would like to register to vote. And so, yep, it's actually a federal requirement.
It is a federal law.
It's a federal law.
Okay, we're going to have a drawing before the end of the show, so stand by. We'll let you know if you are the winner of the $50 gift card.
And, all right, thank you.
Thanks for playing.
So thank you for playing. Mm. Let's talk about this event on Saturday. Let's go through it. What is happening? Where is it happening? And how can people participate?
So our event, it's a community conversation on democracy in Doñana County. We're having it at the Doñana County Government Center, 845 North Motel Boulevard. It starts at 9 a.m. We've got a series of events kind of spread throughout the day. It ends at 3 p.m., 9 to 3, and at 3 p.m. we're going to also have a voter registration agent training. So there's actually one more piece that goes beyond 3 o'clock. But we're going to have the New Mexico Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse Oliver, here. I'll be here. And we've got a series of different pieces to the puzzle to try to get closer to an answer of how we can go about reversing these numbers in our elections, how we can get to a point where we're not celebrating a D minus in a general election, or how we can get to a point where 90% of people are showing up to vote in local elections, not 9%. And so this event is geared towards us creating a local analysis on what's going on here in Doñana County. You know, we can read, I think there may be some listeners that are thinking, well, just read the research from the Pew, right? The Pew does this research, big national research on why people don't vote. And yes, I think there's some value there, but Doñana County's demographics are very unique. And so we can't really look at the average, the national average for answers. We got to be talking to our people here. I've been working in the clerk's office since 2013. We've been trying to do things to increase voting in that entire time, and all I can tell you right now is that it hasn't changed, so we're doing it wrong. We've got to figure out something else, and so this is our effort to do something different.
Let's go to our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno has some closing thoughts and comments from our social media desk.
Well, the conversation is continuing on our Facebook page in Mundo, where we have the voter confidential streaming live. Folks can like our Facebook page and take part in that. We have a comment from Julie again. She mentions that those advertisements only show up on big November elections. She says she has never seen a yard sign that says when an election is either held. I'm guessing on that part. I want to also continue with Arthur, who says an interesting comment, quote, my wife and I moved to Otero County 11 years ago from northeastern Illinois, where a consolidated election district has purview over all elections. He says he had a career in public administration, so he is very aware of elections. In the last 11 years, elections generally that he's experienced have technological and procedural improvements. He says, yet, owing to the lack of consolidated elections in New Mexico, my wife and I missed many elections, whereas in Illinois, we hardly missed any. Furthermore, he says elections are expensive, but they get considerably cheaper the more items are placed on the ballot.
So can we take smart a page from Illinois?
A very smart person right there with some good observations. Right. And so it's good to hear from people who have experienced something different in other states that can contribute to the conversation. And I just want to say I really, really hope that that those people who are contributing to the conversation on Facebook will consider coming and joining us on the 19th. 16th. Where am I? I don't even know. Yes, this coming Saturday. I really hope they'll consider to come, even if it's just for the morning portion, which is when we're going to be doing separate focus group type conversations, so that we can hear from them on their thoughts on how this works. And he hit on a couple of points. Consolidating elections will help us save money. The bill that we almost got through the legislature, or we got on the governor's desk actually this past legislative session, would have saved all of our cities significant amounts of money in their election administration. So it would have been good for the voters. It would have been good for the cities. It would have been good for our budgets, right? It was just responsible use of our public resources. And so it really is a no-brainer. And you know, one thing also that I want to mention, because we're talking about other states, and in New Mexico we've got some of the best election laws. And so while I think that we have a lot of challenges, and we can talk about the consolidation of elections, I would be making a mistake if I left anybody with the impression that in New Mexico our elections are deeply flawed. And that's the exact opposite. You know, New Mexico is is at the bottom of so many lists. When it comes to election administration and our election laws, New Mexico tends to be at the top of the list. We have audits after all of our elections where we're going back and we're selecting a random sample of every precinct to do a hand tally of paper ballots. We've got a paper ballot system. We don't rely on digital recorded votes. There are a lot of really good things to say about New Mexico. 28 days of early voting is a highlight. You know, many states don't have that much time to vote. Being able to vote by mail. So yes, there's room for improvement, but we've got a lot going for us. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying to push the envelope forward and trying to do a better job.
Let's talk about an issue that was raised in 2016, and that's voter fraud. Is there voter fraud in elections?
Studies would say no, right? Studies would say no. There is not significant voter fraud in elections. And if we're talking about increasing participation in elections, right, we really got to be careful with our words, the words that we start choosing. Because when I talk to somebody about trying, when I'm trying to get an understanding of what it is that's keeping them from the voting booth, and I'm having a conversation not with somebody that's informed or votes in every election, but somebody that just isn't there. If they're just hearing voter fraud, that's just one more excuse for them not to show up to vote.
And there is that. I mean, there was so much of that conversation going on in the 2016 election like I've never heard before.
Well, and it's still going on.
It is.
I mean, there's a commission that's been set up by President Trump to look at voter fraud.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean,
what will they find?
They'll find nothing. They'll find what they've set themselves up to find, you know, potentially. And so, you know, there are a lot of efforts nationwide that are designed to try to make sure that our voter registration databases are as accurate as possible. There are best practices that have been developed by previous presidential commissions in election administration to ensure that there's integrity in elections. And so the biggest problem that I have with this, with President Trump's commission, is that he's not following the model of previous presidents who put together commissions to try to put together recommendations or ideas on how to improve elections. When President Obama was elected, one of the first things that he did was he put together a commission on election administration to try to identify what are the best practices for elections nationwide. You know who the chairs of that was? The chair of that commission? The chair was co-chairs. It was the person that ran his campaign and the person that ran Senator John McCain's campaign. He put a bipartisan commission together so that they could work together and come up with ideas and implement suggestions that weren't partisan, that weren't driven by a partisan agenda. President Trump just didn't do that. Right, he put the Secretary of State from Kansas and the Vice President, two prominent Republicans, right, who have very set ideological agendas when it comes to the subject, in charge of that commission. It was a bad decision, and so I think there's a lot of pushback nationwide from both Democrats and Republicans on what this commission is trying to do, because we know that there's not significant voter fraud. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, nothing's perfect, but we should be working together to try to solve this.
Yeah, and I just want to add, so bringing it back to local, I get offended when I hear that I'm not doing my job correctly. And so I'm sitting in the Bureau of Elections office every day, and I see and I know the competent and capable staff that we have, and we're running good and secure elections. And when I go out to the community and say, your vote is going to count, I mean it, because I do it every day, and so does our staff.
Yep.
Let us have a drawing for the winner. For the prize pack, that includes a $50 gift card to Barnes & Noble. Scott, you are then selected. So who is the winner?
How did I win?
How did you win? Yes.
Just kidding.
That election's been tainted.
I can't read your handwriting.
It is Gordon.
Gordon, congratulations. Gordon is the winner.
You are the winner of the $50 gift card plus a mug from KRWG. Thank you very much for participating. Scott, real briefly, the event this Saturday.
This Saturday, September 16th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Government Center, 845 North Motel Boulevard. Please come out and join us, especially if you fall into one of those categories where you vote in presidential elections and not other elections, or you don't vote in any election. I want you to know we are withholding judgment. We're not going to sit there and criticize you for making those decisions or for whatever the reason is that you might not be voting in every election. That's not what the intent is. We want to hear from you. And so please come join us. Help us solve this. Help us reverse this trend of lack of voter participation in our local elections.
That's going to take
Scott,
all of us.
Roseanne, all of us. Thank you very much. Fred Martino is content director. Anthony Moreno worked the social media desk. Jacob Lockwood is our technical producer and handled the phones. And Mark Johnson is our technical director. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host and producer for Voice of the Public's Voter Confidential. Shows like Voice of the Public are only possible because of your financial support. Because you value shows like Voice of the Public, I would like to encourage you to call in your pledge of support at 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or pledge online at krwg.org. Your gift of any amount will go a long way in ensuring the future of public radio right here in our community. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or pledge online at krwg.org. Support Voice of the Public right now with your pledge of support.